Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Off and rolling on a Thursday, June 12, 2025 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on XZG_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on XZC Dunning 929. Connor, let the people know what you got going tonight.
Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Hamp Line. Great pizza, great beer, great trivia.
Great people.
General knowledge trivia. Great people over at Hamp Line. Yeah. I like to call them Hamplonians. Okay. Those are my people.
Okay.
We're building a universe over there. Come out and join us. It's one of the biggest trivia games in the city. It's a ton of fun.
Why not the Hamplinians? Hamplonians? It's Hamp Line. Hamplinians. All right, never mind. You don't like that.
No.
You don't like that.
Boo. Tomato. Okay. Hamplonians just
it feels better.
It feels better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Hamplinians, whatever it is. Go join Connor. Go join Connor for general knowledge trivia. We have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. And the Pacers are 2 games away from pulling off what we thought was the impossible. Thunder were -750 going into the series, and they have fallen to -235 for the series after the Pacers took that 2-1 lead behind an unbelievable effort from Tyrese Haliburton and Bennedict Mathurin. Unbelievable. We have a lot to discuss in regards to that. We also have the Knicks coaching search update to get to, Connor. You have any takes before we even get into that? You have any takes on the Knicks coaching search?
The only take that I have is that before trivia tonight at Hamp Line, I will actually be interviewing for the New York Knicks head coaching job. They have reached out to 929 and were not denied.
Okay.
They were not denied.
Brad's
allowing them to interview me, yes.
Okay. So
yes.
We'll talk about that because I think there's a lot to discuss there. A lot to break down.
Remember yesterday when we said, as a joke, that's Taylor Jenkins' music? Turns out.
I've seen a lot of reporting.
Maybe it's actually been playing.
That's sad.
Rick Pitino still said he's open. Just call Rick Pitino and actually make him turn it down now.
It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal, but we'll talk about that. Also, for you Titans fans out there, you're going to want to listen in the second hour around 5:30. Cam Ward. I don't know if you've seen the reports out of Titans minicamp, Connor. Cam Ward's impressing some people. He is doing some very, very good things. Brian Callahan, the head coach, has spoken very, very highly of him. And we'll get into that around 5:30. We'll get into the Blitz at 6:30, and I can't wait to talk about DeMarcus Cousins. He's been suspended for the rest of the season by the National Basketball League in Puerto Rico. He was playing there. He's been suspended for the rest of the year. And why? I don't want to tell you now, but stick around, and we'll tell you in the Blitz around 6:30. As far as guests are concerned, very simple today, 5 o'clock, Parker Fleming will join from Substack Elitist. We have some NBA Finals to get to. And then at 6 o'clock, talk with Kyron Samuels, some college football and some NFL. I want to break down the Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh saga that we have seen unfold in the past week. But we also need to get to the House settlement, what he thinks about it in particular. But NBA Finals, Game 3 last night. Pacers win at home, 116-107. Teams that go up 2-1 in the NBA Finals historically have won 81% of the time. Like I already mentioned, Oklahoma City Thunder, their series price was minus 750. Overwhelming favorites. One of the biggest favorites in the history of the National Basketball Association. That number has been cut more than in half to minus 35. Now, there's a lot of reasons the Indiana Pacers won last night, but if I'm summing up my main central point, role players play better at home. Two guys in particular, although there were other guys that really chipped in, Obi Toppin need not be omitted from this conversation, but two guys in particular, T.J. McConnell and Benedict Mathurin. And starting with T.J. McConnell, 10 points, 5 assists, 5 steals. Two of those steals came off of inbounds, stole a possession away completely from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the last one, the second one he got, was an absolute backbreaker. Just in the fourth quarter, when it mattered the most, steals one away. They get an easy possession, an easy two, and they took a bigger lead. And then Benedict Mathurin finished with 27 points. 27 points in right around 22 minutes. He dropped the most points off the bench in an NBA Finals game since Jason Terry in 2011. Know what's interesting about Jason Terry in 2011? You know who the head coach for the Dallas Mavericks was when Jason Terry did that?
Who was Rick Carlisle?
Rick Carlisle was the head coach. But if I'm summing it up, I thought last night was Pacers bench showing through. They outscored the Thunder bench 49-18 by 31. That, to me, was the biggest difference in the game. No doubt, no questions asked.
T.J. McConnell turned the entire game around in that second quarter, because in that first quarter, OKC came out and they played really well. It felt like it was going to be a competitive game. And then a demon got released onto the court in T.J. McConnell. He said, ESPN, how dare you rank me 17 in the top 20 players in this NBA Finals. He was responsible for 10 points in a three-minute span in the second quarter for the Indiana Pacers. He was fantastic. It was before the series even began. You and I were saying that the X factor in this series could be the Indiana Pacers bench. And the reason we said that was because of three players: Obi Toppin, Benedict Mathurin, and T.J. McConnell. And so far in this NBA Finals, all three of them have had their moment. It is the reason the Pacers are up 2-1 in this series. And again, last night before the game, we said, what is Rick Carlisle going to do? What is his chess move going to be? Because we know that Dagnall changed up some things in Game 2 that really worked for Oklahoma City Thunder. But as we have become Rick Carlisle propagandists, we've been calling him one of the best coaches in NBA history, not just in the NBA right now. When you go and you look at his resume, genuinely one of the best coaches we have seen in the NBA. What was he going to do? You knew he was going to do something in this game to try to give Indiana the advantage, and man, did he have a couple of moves.
And here's the thing. I will pat myself on the back when I'm right, but I also need to tell you when I'm wrong. And one of the big things that I talked about leading up to Game 3 was the difference between SGA and Tyrese Halliburton. My overall arching take was the Pacers don't have an answer for SGA, and the Thunder have just about every answer for Tyrese Halliburton. But I think that was reductionist of me, because historical context tells you that star players need to be star players in the NBA Finals. They really need to show up, show through, be clutch in the fourth quarter. But in the end of the day, what we've learned in this stretch of seven different champions is that you need to have the best role players. And I think the Pacers are showing that right now. Their role players are stepping up in a big way. Now, Rick Carlisle, glad you brought that up. I have two big hat tips for him for adjustments he made. And I want to be clear. This is not just Rick Carlisle. His players have to execute as well.
Sure.
So I want to start with Ben Shepherd, T.J. McConnell, picking up SGA 94 feet. Unbelievable to go with that and to have them expend that much energy. And it didn't stop SGA from scoring. Guy still had 24 points. He was decently efficient, 9 for 21 for 3 from three-point land. He was still solid. But what you saw was it was hard as hell for him to get to his spots on the floor and be as good as he normally is on the offensive end. And then there was a another issue that popped up in the fourth quarter. Not only was he not reliable as he normally is on the offensive end, he got so tired in that fourth quarter that he was getting picked apart on the defensive end. It could have been Tyrese Halliburton, Andrew Nembhard, whoever was going after SGA. They realized he was way too exhausted to consistently stay in front. And that's why the Pacers were so good in the fourth quarter. And you've seen the Pacers do this. Obviously, it came with an extra step than it did against the first three opponents they played. But they find mismatches, and they try to exploit them. They did it with Dame in the Bucks series. They were able to do it against Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in that Knicks series.
Darius Garland.
They did it with Darius Garland in that Cavs series. But the decision by Rick Carlisle to pick up SGA 94 feet with not his best defenders by any stretch of the imagination was a great one. And then they throw a bunch of guys at SGA on a consistent basis once they got into the half court. The other hat tip I have to give to Rick Carlisle, and this also is a hat tip to Tyrese Halliburton. The offensive adjustments that were made last night to get Tyrese Halliburton going were a big difference. He had 22 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, only 4 turnovers. He was 4 for 8 from the three-point line. He was able to get a shot off a whole lot more, put up 17. That's a series high for him. But when you look at what they did, he was off ball a lot more. T.J. McConnell was handling the ball. Andrew Nembhard was handling the ball. And they were forcing him to the weak side at times. They would have him off ball, weak side, spotting up for a potential three. But when he did not get that three ball, he was attacking closeouts after the Thunder were recovering. And he consistently was giving the Thunder defense decisions to make. There was one sequence where they threw it to him weak side. Alex Caruso recovered pretty well, but then he attacked the closeout of Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso realized Andrew Nembhard was at the top of the key wide open. Eventually, he had to go back and cover that because Tyrese Halliburton will kill you that way by finding his teammates and giving them open three balls. So he went to go guard Andrew Nembhard. Isaiah Hartenstein a little bit late to step up on Tyrese Halliburton. Here's a floater directly in your face. And there's also some ball fakes. More ball fakes that Tyrese Halliburton was making. I thought it was a terrific job by Halliburton and by Carlisle to find the right recipe to get him going on the offensive end.
It was brilliant. They basically did the Rocky strategy against SGA. We're just going to wear you out for all of these rounds. And then in the fourth quarter, we're going to put you in as much action as humanly possible on the defensive end because we know that you don't have your legs underneath you anymore. And we're going to attack you, attack you, attack you. SGA was the closest defender on 23 shot attempts last night from the Indiana Pacers. That's the most against him this season. The Pacers basically said, you are going to be able to do what you want to offensively, but we're going to make it really difficult on you. And then in the fourth quarter when you're tired, we're going to attack you and make you play defense. Because SGA is still a really good defender. I think that last night he got picked on a little bit, but he is still a good defender. But he is the worst defender in that starting lineup for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, I guess when Cason Wallace is in there, you can make an argument that it's Cason Wallace. Still don't really understand why Dagnall's doing that.
Right.
Not really working out for him very well. But the Pacers said, okay, we're going to attack you, attack you, attack you, and force you to make some plays. And then he didn't have his legs underneath him on the offensive end in the fourth quarter. It is the Indiana Pacers. When you get to the fourth quarter against them, and you said this off air, and I think that it is a very good point. What they did to the Bucks in round one in the fourth quarters, I think is sticking in the mind of these teams when they're playing the Pacers. And then they did it against the Cavs. And then they did it against the Knicks.
Right.
And then they did it against the Thunder. When you were in the fourth quarter against the Indiana Pacers, you were basically a babysitter on Halloween facing Michael Myers. An unstoppable force is coming to kill you, and you have to see the light leave their eyes. For the 1,000th time of these playoffs, if you don't see the light leave the Pacers' eyes, they are going to catch your ass in the fourth quarter. In Game 2, the Thunder watched the light leave their eyes. In Games 1 and Game 3, they did not. They took their foot off the gas. They got complacent. And the Pacers said, oh, okay, you're alone with two kids. I'm going to come kill you now. It's been insane to watch. And the Pacers, this isn't some fluke. The Pacers showed sign of this offseason. Since January 1st, They're 48-19. Mm-hmm. They're 14-5 in the playoffs.
Yep.
This Pacers team is for real. And they play, and this is something that doesn't, you can't just box score watch this. You have to be watching the game to notice it. And I know that this isn't some huge take, but they just play with way more intensity than the Thunder.
Right.
Way more intensity.
Especially in the fourth quarter.
And especially that,
that's
in the fourth quarter.
And what you just said is a subjective opinion, and it's my subjective opinion as well, but the Pacers have been in everyone's head since game five of round one against the Bucks. They came back from down seven with 40 seconds to go. It was Aaron Nesmith and Obi Toppin and Tyrese Halliburton put the finishing touches on it. But I have watched the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Thunder shake in their boots in the fourth quarter of close games. They don't play free. They play tensed up. They play tight. They play uncomfortable. While the Pacers are playing free, and the opponent seems to play not to lose in those fourth quarter situations when it's a tight game. And I do have an objective stat to back up my subjective opinion. NBA Finals by quarter, point differential. OKC takes first through third. OKC in the first, plus 23. OKC in the second, plus 3. OKC in the third, plus 7. Fourth quarter is the only quarter that the Indiana Pacers are winning. They're plus 27 in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
It's a complete, it's a completely different ball game by the time you get to the fourth quarter. And you could even have a nice 10-point lead and feel comfortable. But you have to extend that lead or the Pacers are going to get back in that game. And if it's close, I don't really have a whole lot of hope for the Thunder. The Thunder are not good in close games. It's sort of, you know, I heard Jeffrey talking with David Cobb about it a little bit earlier. A couple of years ago, UConn did not play a lot of close games. Whenever they got into close games, they would struggle. You know, there was a point in the Big East Conference schedule where they lost a couple in a row and they were all close games by the time they got to the fourth quarter. I feel like the Thunder just don't have enough experience this season in close games, and they're playing against a team who's consistently played close games and consistently comes through in close games once you get to the fourth quarter. So it's been a joy to watch the
truly,
Indiana Pacers do this. But on the other side, just watching the Thunder shaking their boots, and it was the Cavs and the Knicks before them, it's insane. It's insane. And I could see where those fan bases get very, very frustrated. Now, I want to get to this because I think this is a problem. This is a problem for the Thunder. Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. If you look at the box score, you can't fully measure what I'm about to say. But
they had good games last night.
And they were fine,
right?
Like, Chet had 20 and 10. Jalen Williams, 9 for 18, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, they were fine for the entirety of the game.
But
here's my thing. They have a lack of impact down the stretch in the fourth quarter of close games. They just do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a team, even if you win 68 games during the regular season, even if you're that dominant, you need to find someone else to close. And if it's not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it's nobody for the Thunder. It just isn't. In a close game, what I have seen, it kind of has to be him putting the finishing touches on a win. And to take that next step as a team, that championship step, right, to get that championship pedigree, you have to have a second option in those moments. And in recent history, we have seen that. And some of the second options aren't perennial all-stars by any stretch of the imagination. Not all NBA guys all the time. But like you look at last year, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. One of them can finish. Jaylen Brown, hell, he won finals MVP last season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people would tell you he's the second best player on that team.
Andrew Wiggins 2 years ago.
Andrew Wiggins with the Warriors was phenomenal down the stretch when Steph Curry couldn't give you what he needed to give you. With Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, playoff riser. When you get into the fourth quarter, he can go find his shot and put a team away. I look back at the Bucks championship. It was Giannis, yeah. In that closeout game, he had 50 points and 14 rebounds, but Chris Middleton brought them home
mm-hmm.
in a lot of situations leading up to that. So I look at those two guys, and I have to circle them and say, Chet, Jalen Williams, you have to be better sometimes in the fourth quarter, especially now that the adjustment has been made by Rick Carlisle to pick up SGA full court, 94 feet, and wear him down. He can't do everything for you to close close games. You have to have somebody else. Those two guys still have growing to do. They just do. And they're young, and they still have a chance to do it. But right now, I'm not seeing it from them in those clutch moments.
Right. They have good games until it gets to those pressurized moments. And then you can feel the Thunder kind of looking to SGA, who is the MVP and one of the best players in the NBA.
You should look to him.
And they're basically saying, take us home. And you could see last night how exhausted he was in that fourth quarter, because when he couldn't get something going and he would pass the ball off, it was just a brick flying toward the rim. And you could tell it was getting to him a little bit. You could see the frustration, I think, for the first time really in the NBA playoffs on SGA's face last night. Because even in the Nugget series, when they were losing those games, he was smiling. He was saying, we're going to get this. Don't worry about it. Last night, though, I think you really saw the Pacers get to them because they spread you out. The Pacers are able to spread you out, and they do it with size. They don't have to sacrifice size with the way that they spread out their offense. And they just put pressure on you and exhaust you for 48 minutes. And in those final 2 minutes of the game, for 46 minutes, they exhaust you. And in the final 2 minutes, they say, what you got? That's when the Rocky Balboa shows up. And you better knock them out and watch the light leave their eyes, or you're going to have to pay. You will have to pay. It has been really fun to watch this Pacers team because they are a true underdog story. They are going up a team against a team that won 68 games. I think everybody and their mama is rooting for the Indiana Pacers. I know we are. We've been calling them their only hope. So I don't know if they're going to be able to pull this off. I don't know if they're going to be able to win four games. But what I do know is if they play like they did in Game 1 and Game 3, they could pull this off. I am really rooting for the Pacers. This has been, I'm going to say, this has been a really fun NBA Finals.
Yep.
The games have been very fun to watch. I am praying that the Pacers can pull this off for two more games.
Now,
and they accomplished their goal. We said, what's the Pacers' goal? Split it in Indiana.
Yep.
Get at least one in Indiana.
And I will say this. This is my projection, even though my projections don't seem to mean much. And I will say that the Thunder, so far, on the road in the playoffs, they're 0-8 against the spread. So they do not win games by a whole lot on the road. They do that at home. But we gave a lot of praise to Rick Carlisle, and we sort of mentioned it briefly with Mark Daigneault. I still don't quite understand the moving away from Chet and Isaiah Hartenstein, still not playing them as much as he should at the same time. I think you're giving the Pacers a bit of a bailout. Now, I don't have any stats to back up, you know, what their impact is and if the Pacers have been winning games because he's not playing that lineup. But I can tell you this, to preempt adjustments coming into game one was not the move. I think that much is very clear. To come into these finals as the 68-win team, as the team that's being chased by the Pacers, and make a switch, one, didn't send the right message, and two, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Make them make decisions based on what you're doing, not the other way around.
Impose your will. Impose your will on them. And last night, when you look at the Pacers' shot chart and where they were scoring the basketball, yeah, they hit a couple of threes. Tyrese Halliburton was 4 of 8 from three. He had a big game from there. Benedict Mathurin knocked down a couple. But they weren't scoring from three last night. They were scoring around the rim. They were scoring within the three-point line. That's how they were getting their points. You know what really helps defend that? Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren on the floor at the same time.
Yep.
I don't understand the Cason Wallace
30%
thing.
From three.
I haven't understood it the entire season. I don't get it. They need to go back to what was working for them throughout the playoffs and throughout the season. They got too cute with it. I think he overthought it. He was going up against the Pacers team that runs at you constantly for 48 minutes, and he overthought it a little bit. Go big and try to impose your will on the Indiana Pacers, because they can maintain size, but those 2 7-footers can disrupt things. They can give you second-chance opportunities. In the fourth quarter last night, you know what would have really helped the Thunder? When all those bricks were getting thrown toward the basket, if you had huge,
somebody to clean it
yeah,
up.
If you had guys in there that could clean it up. Also, this Pacers stat is really interesting. Pacers, after a loss during the playoffs, they're 5-0 with 114.8 offensive rating, 100 defensive rating, which is crazy, plus 14, plus 0.4 after a loss. If the Pacers are going to lose, they're going to beat you the next game.
Yep. Now, I fully...
Which is, if you think about it, being up 2-1,
Yeah.
Now, not a bad place to be.
I fully expect this series to be 2-2 heading back for game 5 in Oklahoma City. But I know it's Thursday, and we do overreaction, not an overreaction on Wednesday. But I have a special overreaction, not an overreaction for you, Connor. Friday night is the Oklahoma City Thunder season. Overreaction, not.
Not an overreaction. Exactly. Not an overreaction. You cannot go down 3-1 to this Pacers.
100%.
You cannot.
It's only been one 3-1 comeback in the history of the NBA Finals, and we know when that happened. That was LeBron 16 and 17.
And last time I checked, LeBron isn't on the OKC Thunder.
He ain't walking through that door.
Neither is Kyrie or Kevin Love.
Right. But Friday night, that's the Thunder season.
Please, Pacers.
You have to win.
Please.
You have to win, or I fear it's over. I fear it's over for you. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And we have more NBA news to get to, but this is about a coaching search with a team that fired their coach after getting knocked out of the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll go into the New York Knicks coaching search next. Back in, Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yesterday in the New York Times, Tom Thibodeau, recently fired coach by the New York Knicks, pulled out a full-page ad to thank New Yorkers for his time in the city and how much they supported him. He said, "Thank you to the best city in the world with the best fans in the world. Thank you. When I was hired in 2021, I said this was my dream job. I'm grateful that dream became a reality. Thank you to our players and coaching staff who gave everything they had. And to everyone who makes this franchise special, I am proud of everything we accomplished together, including 4 playoff appearances and this year's run to the Eastern Conference Finals, our first in 25 years. And to the fans, thank you for believing in me and embracing me from day one, watching you support our team, and seeing the Garden ignite with that incomparable Knicks energy is something I will never forget. With gratitude and respect, Tom Thibodeau." Now, while that's going on, the New York Knicks are trying to find his replacement, and they're not having a whole lot of success. They're trying to get sitting head coaches. I compared it yesterday to the kid at daycare who sees another kid having fun with a toy, and he tries to walk up and claim that that's his. "I see you having fun with that. Why can't I have that? I really want that. Give me that toy." That's what's going on right now. They have reached out to the Rockets about Ime Udoka, and they were denied. They've reached out to the Timberwolves about Chris Finch. They were denied. They reached out to the Mavericks about Jason Kidd. Again, were denied. And then the most recent two, they reached out to the Hawks about Quinn Snyder. Denied. And finally, they reached out to the Bulls about Billy Donovan and were denied. Now, I want to be fair because in certain situations, happens every single offseason, we just don't hear about it, but I bet it's being leaked because people don't like James Dolan and the strong-arming and the arrogance and all that. This happens every offseason where teams will reach out to other teams about bringing in their head coach and they get denied and it doesn't make front page news. It doesn't make Shams Charania's Twitter. But at the same time, this is 5. This is a big number. And the truth of the matter is, when you do reach out to another organization about their sitting head coach, you're likely going to make that hire. That's how the NBA behind-the-scenes coaching carousel works. It is amazing to me that you fired Tom Thibodeau, a guy who not just won 24 playoff games, not just made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, but a guy who got you to an Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. It's amazing you fired that guy with no succession plan. In any walk of life, it could be a radio station, it could be you could be a freight broker. I don't care. When you are thinking about firing someone because they haven't done the job that you specified when you hired them, they haven't been up to snuff, they just haven't done a good job in your opinion. Usually, before you fire that person, you preemptively start looking at other candidates, getting a short list together. Who am I going to interview once I fire this person? Once I get rid of this person, I need someone to take over their workload. So who is that going to be? It seems to me that the Knicks fired and got rid of Tom Thibodeau and did no homework before they made that firing, which is amazing. You're running a billion-dollar, historic NBA franchise, and you're not doing the legwork to find that franchise's next head coach. I think the blame immediately needs to be put on James Dolan. He's a guy who has made bad move after bad move as the Knicks owner, and it feels like this is another example of that. But that is the most amazing thing to me, to fire a coach who has been as successful as Tom Thibodeau while the players still seemingly like him and not have anybody in mind about who was going to replace him that is out there on the open market. It has gotten so bad that now, according to multiple sources, the two coaches that the New York Knicks are looking at are none other than Mike Brown, who was fired by the Kings at the beginning of the season this year, and our old but good friend, you know, franchise leader and wins for the Memphis Grizzlies, Taylor Jenkins. Connor, take it away, man. I cannot believe we're at this point with the New York Knicks.
They fired their most successful coach of this century and had no clue what they were going to do to replace him. They're 0 for 5 on asking for coaches. They're really 0 for 7, though, because they reached out to Hurley and they reached out to Jay Wright.
Right.
And I guess if you want to say Rick Pitino going preemptively turning them down.
We're not calling that 0 for 8. 0 for
but
7.
They're basically 0 for 7. I don't understand it whatsoever. There are legitimate candidates out there that are good coaches that don't have jobs. Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown are two good coaches. Are they better than Tom Thibodeau? Probably not. I just don't understand, if this was their plan, why they didn't just give Tom Thibodeau another year.
Yep.
Because some coaches that have jobs right now in the NBA that they may be interested in may not have jobs next summer. You made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you lost to a very good Indiana Pacers team who have a very good head coach.
A couple of different bounces, you could win that series.
Literally a crazy-ass bounce in game one. Probably changed the entire series. I think the Knicks panicked. They fired their coach because they felt like they had to do something because they didn't make it to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row. Patience in the NBA pays off a lot of the time.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is all going to probably end up being fine because, in our opinion, their issues have more to do with their roster.
Sure.
And if they shore up the roster a little bit, I think that they will be back. There's a strong chance that they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals next year, no matter who their coach is. I understand wanting to bring in a new voice, but it is embarrassing that they fired Tom Thibodeau with zero plan other than trying to get head coaches who have jobs right now. That's why when the Jason Kidd stuff started, we were so confused. We were like, was this their plan the entire time? And they were like, no, don't worry. It's Ime. It's like, he also has a job. I can't believe they haven't reached out to Dagnall and Rick Carlisle yet.
And to be honest, well, they're in the middle of the season. I don't think they can do that. They're still in.
They're waiting.
But maybe they're waiting.
James Dolan was probably watching the game last night. Like, you know, he's a good coach.
Even deeper than just trying to get sitting head coaches, it doesn't seem like they have a particular type in mind.
That's what's weird, too. Because every coach that they've asked,
Ime Udoka is guy who gets young players going, has a strong personality behind the scenes, and, you know, that's his style. Chris Finch, a little more hands-off, still good with young players. Jason Kidd, he likes veteran teams, wants to coach defense. Quinn Snyder, all offense. Billy Donovan, mostly offense. They don't have a type in mind. Like, if you're forget the names. Forget that you fired Tom Thibodeau. If you're firing Tom Thibodeau, what did you want in your next head coach? Because none of these names align with anything that even seems remotely similar to where I could point and say, you know, they want this type of coach. They want a guy who's going to hold his players accountable. They want a guy who's really focusing on defense. They want a guy who's really focusing offensively and wants to revolutionize the game. They want to take more threes. All these coaches do different things. So what do you want? If I'm going to a starting point on hiring any coach, if I'm a part of any NBA franchise, my starting point is, what do I want this guy to do well? What do I want the givens to be? Who do I want him to maximize? That needs to be the starting point. They didn't even have a starting point. All these guys do different things for their franchises, specialize differently, have different connections. They're just throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks. After firing a coach that I would say is better than at least four of these candidates. I think he's better than Chris Finch. I think he's better than Jason Kidd. I think he's better than Quinn Snyder, better than Billy Donovan. The only one that I'd have pause with that I think is an upgrade is Ime Udoka. And even then, Ime Udoka doesn't have some long resume like a guy in Tom Thibodeau.
He's also better than Mike Brown. He's also better than Taylor Jenkins.
Yes. So not only did they just reach out to all these sitting head coaches and piss off a bunch of franchises, but they didn't have an idea of what they really wanted in a coach. That should be a given. If I'm firing Tom Thibodeau, do I want a guy who's going to get this offense into the 21st century? I want a guy who can maintain relationships with players. They didn't even have those conversations clearly behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, let's make this move because we feel that we deserved more this season. We're mad at Tom Thibodeau. It was a reactionary firing with no plan in sight.
Now, the good news for the Knicks is I do think that Leon Rose is really good at his job. And like you said, I do think that this story is a little bit overblown because this happens every offseason. But I think that the way this happened is why it is so, to be honest, entertaining for us to talk about, because they fired Tom Thibodeau after he had the most successful season the Knicks have had since the 90s.
This is peculiar. NBA teams NBA franchises that are looking for a head coach, they may go for one or two sitting
right.
head
them
coaches.
Them going for this many.
Five?
Right, right. It's probably going to work out fine for them because, one, they're in the Eastern Conference, and some of the names being thrown around are still good NBA head coaches. Like, I've heard Van Gundy has been thrown around, which would I think Van Gundy would be really good for them. He's a lead assistant for the Clippers. They had a great season. I think Van Gundy would be okay. Budenholzer's still out there. Michael Malone's still out there. Taylor Jenkins, it wouldn't be great, but he's not bad. Mike Brown wouldn't be great, but he's not bad.
I mean, these names, is Mike D'Antoni out there?
Did you see that Luke Walton got thrown around, too? Luke Walton has been mentioned.
Why?
Well, he's the lead assistant for the Pistons. He's the lead assistant for
the Pistons.
I've
seen him be a head coach before. Not good.
I don't agree with that. Luke Walton was a good head coach. Luke Walton was good. He just didn't have a very good team. But Luke Walton was good. Luke Walton can coach. Agree to disagree. Yeah. But then, like, you still have the Sam Cassells out there. They have been connected to guys who would be good hires. So it is probably going to be fine. But it is just insane that their first plan of action was, that guy's a pretty good coach for that team. Let's see if he wants to come coach the Knicks. It was like after two good years, James Dolan thought, well, we're the Knicks again. We're the New York Knicks. Everybody's going to bend the knee to the Knicks. No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, Jim, because you're still running the franchise.
How haven't you had an interview with anybody legitimate yet?
But no,
going
back to the point I made about not having a type in mind, based on who they have reached out to, do you have any sense of who they're looking for, what they're looking for? Not who, but what they're looking for.
I think they're looking for somebody that has a defensive mindset that has maybe a little bit more.
Quinn Snyder?
Yeah, Quinn Snyder's not terrible at defense. Look at the Hawks' defense this year.
Well, Dyce Daniels a lot of that, right?
They were good.
It's an offensive head coach historically.
I don't know.
100%.
No doubt. He was with the Jazz, they were very good defense, too.
He's an offensive head coach, though. That's the calling card for him. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that I would like think of him as like an offense coach. I think he's just a well-rounded coach. I think Quinn Snyder's a well. But like, I think they're looking for somebody who shows that they can be defense, but has a little bit more to give you on offense. That's where, like, Taylor Jenkins kind of makes sense. I understand the Taylor Jenkins thing.
Style.
Mike Brown is closer to Tom Thibodeau, I think, than any of the other candidates that make sense right now. I think that Van Gundy would give them defense while also giving them a little bit more offensive versatility. So I think that they're just looking for a Tom Thibodeau that's not going to play his guys for 48 minutes, and that give them a little bit more on offense, just a little bit more creativity offensively. That seems to be the type of guys that they're going after. That's where, like, Ime would make, like, he matches that. Billy Donovan kind of matches that. It's just, I'm curious to see who they actually end up with.
Taylor Jenkins and Mike Brown seem to be the two guys that have taken hold of this coaching search, though, right? And they don't have a spot to land. They're not on anybody's bench right now. So they're...
If those were your two candidates, who would you hire?
Probably Mike Brown for more experience.
I think I'd hire Jenkins.
Okay.
Because Mike Brown's just never gotten it done.
Okay. Let's stipulate that it's Jenkins, right? The hire does help on the defensive side. It just sort of keeps up some type of semblance of Tom Thibodeau there. Offensively, though, I don't know. What is Taylor Jenkins offensively? Obviously, he'd bring in an assistant like he did with the Grizzlies and hope for the best. But last year, and I know this is not historically what he did with the Grizzlies, but last year, they completely abandoned the high pick and roll. Jalen Brunson, that's high pick and roll and high pick and pop with Karl Anthony Towns. Like, that's what they do.
Right.
So if last year's an indication, I don't know offensively if that would jive. But again, that's not his historic style.
Right. I'm also I'm also still curious how much of that was a Jenkins decision.
How much do we think too? Because Tom Thibodeau,
it also kind of worked.
Tom Thibodeau is very
much.
Gotta be
clear about that. It did.
Tom
work.
Thibodeau is very much like the bigger name. He was bigger name, long resume, very known when he was hired. I wonder how New York Knicks fans would respond to a Taylor Jenkins hire. And I think Mike Brown's a little more known than Taylor Jenkins, but I wonder how they would respond. And how do you think Taylor Jenkins would handle himself with the New York media?
Yeah, that's true. I think he'd be fine.
He doesn't say anything to ruffle feathers,
I don't
see it being a big deal there.
I don't think they'd be doing backflips over the hire. I also don't think they'd be doing backflips over the hire of Mike Brown. If I were the Knicks, I'd hire neither of them. I don't understand why they're the top two candidates.
Is Michael Malone, did he just say?
I don't know. Mike Malone seems like the obvious choice. He seems like the obvious choice, and they're not doing it for some reason.
Maybe he, I mean, is he close with Tibbs? Do we know about that?
I don't know.
I didn't know if he was like a Tibbs guy. I know that there has been reports about some of these guys are close to Tibbs and don't want to hop in there after him with how he was treated on the way out. I don't know if, you know, that's the case here, but
I will say, I think that Brown and Jenkins might be better than Jason Kidd. I will give you that. I don't think that Jason Kidd's a very good coach. I've never thought Jason Kidd was a very good coach. I don't think he maximizes his teams whatsoever. I've never understood the appeal of Jason Kidd. I've never understood that at all. I don't look at Jason Kidd and think that's a top tier NBA head coach.
Answer that we came up day one when Tibbs was fired is the one that I still hold today. It's like they should be
Michael Malone
doing everything they can to reach out to Michael Malone and see what it is. I mean, because you fired Tibbs, seemingly, because you wanted to get over top and get to a championship, potentially win a championship.
Well,
here's a guy who's done it. Here's the only guy who has done it. Of, I'm looking at it, every single guy that has been tied to this job so far, Ime Udoka, Chris Finch, Jason Kidd, Quinn Snyder, Billy Donovan, Taylor Jenkins, Mike Brown won a couple, but as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
He won four.
Billy won in college, but
that's not the same thing. Yeah. Like the only one that has won a championship that's available is the one you have not reached out to based on all the reports we've read.
Well, and we know Mike Malone would bring defense. He's hard-nosed. His players respected him until they didn't, but he's creative offensively and he helps maximize your role players, especially in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He gets guys open shots and he knows how to build a team where one of their top two players is a center. And that's exactly what the New York Knicks are. He knows how to maximize those teams. So why aren't you calling him? Why isn't he the lead candidate for this job? It makes too much sense that it would be Michael Malone. He seems to be everything that they're looking for in an NBA head coach. And if they hire him, all of this chaos and circus will eventually be like, okay, well, they at least landed on the right answer. You're just hoping if you're a Knicks fan that all of this craziness is just Dolan.
Right.
And Leon Rose is just waiting him out. And he's saying, we're going to do this. It's going to be reported. People are going to laugh at us. But at the end of the day, we're going to make the smart hire because Leon Rose has done the right things for the Knicks in the last few seasons. Just go hire Michael Malone and go shore up your bench a little bit.
You asked why is this taking the turn that it's taking? Because clearly, behind the scenes, the New York Knicks are inept. That's the answer right now, until I'm proven otherwise. That's the answer. They're inept. Now, it's the return of Robert Irwin Jewelers' annual Summer of 1,000 Engagements event, and it's bigger than ever. Robert Irwin Jewelers launches the Summer of 1,000 Engagements with a 1,000-carat diamond giveaway. They're giving away 1,000 carats of diamonds if you spend $999 or more. Some examples, 1.2-carat double halo engagement diamond engagement ring for $14.99. If you buy that, you can get a free diamond tennis bracelet. And another one, 3.5-carat total weight ring featuring a 3-carat above love star center diamond that delivers unmatched sparkle and performance, $39.99. You buy that, pair of free diamond stud earrings.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Things. And if you want something one of a kind, we always tell you, Robert Irwin Jewelers got you handled. You could bring a sketch, Pinterest board, a picture. It's so easy, and it's completely risk-free with Robert Irwin Jewelers, meant to be guaranteed. Because if you're not completely satisfied with your custom-made engagement ring, you've got 365 days, a full year, to return it for a full refund. And you could just get another one. You could use that money to up in size. If you got a upgrade or more money at work, you can do all of that, and it's risk-free. And Robert Irwin Jewelers always carries a large selection and collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds. They're going to have something for you. Save up to 40% off engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding sets at the Summer of 1000 engagement sale going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Shop early and get a free diamond jewelry with your purchase of $999 or more while supplies last. Propose now and pay later with lots of financing options like 12-month 0% interest or take up to 60 months to pay with a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any one of their 5 locations, 3 here in the local Memphis area, but you can go online as well, rijewelers.com. Now we have some NBA Finals and this Knicks coaching search to talk about. Coming up next with Parker Fleming. Make sure you stick around right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.